Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.FM. I'm Chris Mitchell, your host for today. And over on the boards, we got James Stanley back at it again.
Yellow.
And then, of course, we got Zach Berman over here chilling on the side. He was looking at his phone, but now he's not.
Come on.
I appreciate the discipline. That's right.
Sometimes it takes special dips. I don't know, man. I got the sniffles. Just
listen, man.
Give me a break.
All right. Just
break him off a piece of that.
Yeah. Anyway, so James is back. Got his whole bag of goodies waiting for you and some new stuff that I won't spoil right now, but it's pretty good. We'll get into that. First things first, Mizzou is officially off their bye week now. They have to prep for going down to Athens, just like you had to prepare to go down to Athens. Ain't that right, James?
Yeah, I don't know which is a harder task for Missouri to get ready to try to beat Georgia just for the second time in school history or, getting ready for my final call for KCU.
Oh, shoot, man. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And, of course, the game we're talking about is Mizzou football team going to play Georgia.
Georgia has everything to play for. The playoffs are now back in consideration. Georgia was ranked sixth overall in the college football playoff poll.
That's right.
Came out Tuesday night.
Over Oklahoma and Oregon, right?
Stunning. I am actually stunned that Georgia made it in. Because if you look...
You bring up Oklahoma. I have a new opinion about them.
All right. What's
up? Out of Oklahoma's, they have like 600 wins all time?
Yeah.
It's like 40% of them have been against three teams.
That's pretty crazy.
Do you want to guess what three teams they are?
Oklahoma State...
Actually, it's four teams. Yes, Oklahoma State's one of them.
Iowa State.
Yes.
Kansas.
Yes.
Texas Tech.
No.
TCU.
No.
TCU didn't join the Big Ten or Big 12 till
Kansas
like,
State?
No. Oh, no. You already said Kansas State.
No, I didn't. I said Kansas, not Kansas State.
Baylor? No.
Missouri.
Ooh. Spicy. Yeah. Yeah. Shoot, I guess I never really thought of that.
Yeah, no, the playoff poll was certainly interesting. There's no precedent for how the committee puts the rankings out. There seems to be a different set of rules they go by every year. For example, the undefeated national champion Clemson Tigers are currently out of the playoffs because, they haven't played anybody good.
Yeah.
Yet school like Oregon, whose one loss is to a top 15 Auburn, is ranked lower than Georgia, whose one loss was to an abysmal South Carolina. So I'm sure everything will get sorted out eventually. We still have 2 and 3 playing each other this weekend in Tuscaloosa, that is LSU and Alabama, 2 and 3 respectively, and 2 weeks from now Penn State and Ohio State, which is number 4 and number 1, will do battle. So it will all work itself out in the end, but if anybody is listening to to this show in the playoff committee, shout out to the playoff committee. Please expand it. Expand to 8 teams, please.
Yeah, have us on the playoff committee. We make good decisions.
In all honesty, I'm not a fan of the 8 team playoff. I think they should do a 6 team playoff with a first round bye for 1 and 2.
Ooh, that'd be fun. That'd be very interesting.
I've gotten into this with a gazillion people. It should be 8 teams, and the reason it should be 8 teams is because that gives you the winner of every Power 5 conference, 2 at-larges, and then the best group of 5.
But the Power 5 conference, I don't think that the winner of the Big 12 deserves to be in
the
conversation.
If the winner of the Big 12 is a one-loss Oklahoma, and that one loss being to Kansas State, who is now ranked.
But the Big 12 is so weak.
If you come out of the Big 12 undefeated, and there's only one school that can come out of the Big 12 undefeated, and that's Baylor, then they should be in the playoff.
This is a very complicated discussion.
I don't know. I'm with the whole conference alignment thing. I think that the Big 12 needs to fall apart. And then at this point, not Missouri, all the SEC, Pac-12, they'd come in and pick over the conference.
Interesting.
Who would the SEC the best pick team. Up? SEC? Well, you'd have to think of either Texas or Oklahoma, although I think that Texas and Oklahoma would be a better fit for the Pac-12.
Yeah,
I think you add Texas and...
And you send Oklahoma... Well, so here's the other issue. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are just like KU and Kansas State. The state legislatures have tied the universities together.
So
you can't have one without the other.
Then put Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the Big Ten.
No, they make more sense in the Pac-12.
No, they don't. The Pac-12 deserves your TCU and your Texas Tech.
Okay, fair.
Put them in the Sun Belt.
Iowa State would probably fall to Missouri Valley Conference.
Iowa State goes Big Ten.
No.
Yes, Iowa State goes
Kansas Big Ten. Kansas and K-State go Big Ten is what I think.
I think this is a discussion for another time. You can go on hours and hours and hours about this. But I think at the end of the day.
But here's just what I'm saying is that I don't think that always that the winner of the Big 12 always deserves to be in the college football playoff.
I don't know.
I guess it depends how the rest of the Big 12 looks like. If Texas is looking like, I don't know, Texas this year as opposed to Texas last year, and you still got, you know, an undefeated Oklahoma or a one-loss Oklahoma coming out on top. Yeah, they probably deserve some sort of shot in the sort of bigger playoff picture. But outside of that, where everyone's not looking super stellar in the Big 12 as of now, except for, you know, Oklahoma. But even then.
Baylor. Baylor is undefeated.
Yeah.
If you're undefeated in a Power 5 conference, even if that Power 5 conference is the Big 12, you should be in consideration.
We should still probably not get too ahead of themselves because Baylor hasn't played Oklahoma yet.
That's true.
And we need to talk about the fact that they also scored 17 points at home against West Virginia.
Doesn't matter how you do it.
Do you want to talk about weird things?
It does a little
bit. We should
have
a segment here, weird things James finds on eBay.
Yes, please.
And this only has to do with the playoff. That's the only reason why I bring it up.
Okay.
I found a 2007 Missouri Tigers BCS National Championship hat.
Can I have it?
Where?
On eBay.
I know, but like who is selling it?
I don't know. It was like $11. And it
did
has
you
like
buy it?
No.
How did you? Is it still on eBay?
I have no idea. You have to look for it.
We're very into bootleg merch here at Salute Your Sports.
Isn't
anyway.
That interesting though?
Yeah.
It might not even be bootleg. It might be one of like the hats
how,
that they make.
Like
yeah, like
I just want to know how did that survive? And why was it
you'd be
made?
Surprised. Well.
Oh, I guess if Missouri won,
right here, I just found it.
If Mizzou had won the Big 12 championship, I guess.
Look at this. Look at this. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's a nice hat.
How many are there? We should get them for Slayer Sports.
Well, that's from 2011. I don't even think Mizzou was anywhere close in 2011.
I thought it was 2007.
2011.
I misread it.
Anyways, let's talk about Georgia. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with the University of Georgia Bulldogs football program.
They choke.
Well, not just that. Here's the thing. This is really a tale of there are two games I want to talk about. First game, of course, I want to talk about the South Carolina game. And I want to talk about the Florida team, or Florida game, which Florida came in there with its own sins. Third and Grantham came back, of course. Everyone's favorite emotional blitzer in the SEC. The third and whatever, doesn't matter. He's showing blitz, throwing blitzes at everybody.
Georgia looked like the team we thought they would be against Georgia.
Here's the thing. Georgia converted on its the most third downs it's done since 2014.
Well, that's
encouraging. Against Louisville. You know who the defensive coordinator for Louisville in 2014 was?
Who was it?
Todd Grantham.
That's actually interesting.
So there's some good news. So there's some good news for Mizzou. Todd Grantham is not their defensive coordinator. So they got that in their favor. Outside of that, Georgia is a very well-oiled machine.
Yeah, do you also want to talk about offense. their success in the red zone?
Yeah, a little bit. What you got?
Well, knowing Mizzou, they're going to be in the red zone quite a bit.
Georgia ranks second in the SEC in red zone offense at 97.1%.
That's refreshing.
97.1% success rate, and you know
who's
ahead
the
of
first?
Them? LSU. At 97.7, they got 6/10 of a percentage
stunning.
Point.
Yeah, so as
there's only been one time this year Georgia has gotten to the red zone and not scored.
Who was that against?
That was a missed field goal, wasn't it?
No.
Who was it against?
Was it during South Carolina? I feel like it had to have been.
Nope.
It was Kentucky.
Right. Nope, but it was against a team that beat Mizzou.
So Vanderbilt.
Yes. Opening week. 5 for 6 in the red zone, 3 touchdowns, 2 field goals, and a turnover.
I can't believe Vanderbilt beat Mizzou.
We can't relitigate this every week.
But then here's the scarier part on their defense. They've only allowed opponents into the red zone 13 times.
But all here's season. The issue I take with Georgia. Mizzou always plays them tough. They haven't beaten Georgia since Barry Odom took over, but Mizzou always plays them tough.
And you want to talk about a tale of two different cities. Kirby Smart and Barry Odom took over their respective programs at the same time.
Yeah.
But Georgia is also a powerhouse. Mizzou is Mizzou.
Well, I think Kirby Smart had a better canvas to work with than I think Barry Odom did.
And on top of that, Smart and Odom are one of two coaches that are alumni of their universities.
That's cool.
That's actually pretty cool.
And on top of that,
Mama's calling.
Kirby Smart, Barry Odom is. I think he's played like three teams this year that have, I guess only two, Ole Miss and Georgia. That's still pretty interesting, though.
Anyway, let's see. So what I want to get to is the fact that Georgia, very well-oiled offensive machine.
And you could thank their offensive line for that, too.
Yeah, their offensive
line. Their offensive line is ridiculous.
Their average size, 6'5", 329 pounds. Biggest unit beefy in Bulldog history. And on top of that, it's young guys.
Yeah.
So these are not experienced guys. Successfully passed from Notre Dame to Georgia for offensive lineman university.
That's like Big Ten level big. And for the SEC, too.
Well, who always produces the best offensive lines? Notre Dame, Georgia, Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that's most.
And they usually put good quarterbacks, too.
Iowa,
yeah.
Well, Iowa's taken tight end university from Mizzou.
Dang.
We've had three good tight ends come out of Iowa. That's true. Who we had? Well, George Kittle, and now T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant.
But Albert Okwuegbunam's going to be a good pick.
He's going to be a Patriot, isn't he? When Tom Brady is 59 years old and slinging
out of a walker
a gazillion touchdowns to Albert Okwuegbunam, we're just going to be sitting here being like, why didn't our quarterbacks throw to him in the end zone?
In the championship game against the Steelers, Mike Tomlin's still there.
I just don't see Missouri
straining, looking at his clipboard.
Getting back to the quarterback at all this year, all this game.
Yeah.
The offensive line has not allowed a sack since the South Carolina game. And they've only allowed four all season through eight games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only guy for Mizzou that really has the talent to bypass a line that good is Cale Garrett, and he's not playing.
Well, and furthermore, there's not someone on this line that really is an anchor, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you know how they had Terry Beckner? You know, you talk about the hashtag D-line Mizzou.
Yeah.
There's no Terry Beckner.
There's no one on the line.
There's no Sheldon Richardson. There's no Michael Sam.
And on top of that, it's
no Marcus Golden.
It's also very young.
Yeah, shout out Marcus Golden.
Yeah.
Only consistent guy in the Giants this whole year.
We can talk about the Giants a little bit later.
You got the guy with the most experience is Trey Williams. Redshirt junior. Jordan Elliott, also redshirt junior.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The secondary is about as efficient as a piece of wet cardboard. Shout out to wet cardboard.
But good news with Georgia is they aren't a particularly, complex offensive puzzle to figure out. They're really good at one thing, and that's running the ball. I mean, I can't think of a time where James Coley, their play caller, really does anything but run the ball down everyone's throats with DeAndre Swift if he can help it. Outside of that,
Lawrence Cage or something else.
Yeah, and that breaks me to the forward pass, which
Jake Fromm has taken a step back this year.
I don't even think it's that he's taken a step back. I think it's a couple things. I think it's A, that Coley or Jane or what's Cager. His name? James Coley. Yeah. I'm just trying to smash his name together. Anyways, as a play caller, I think, again, he's more comfortable with just letting his running backs do all the work on offense. And then when it comes to it, maybe hoping to keep them out of like long passing down situations. So Jake Fromm could just dink and dunk, bada bing, perfect, good. Don't really have to, Fromm hasn't really had to, use his arm or throw Georgia, back into things, really. I think the one time where Georgia really couldn't do much on the ground was during South Carolina. And this is a game where Lawrence Cager, I suppose we can call him their top receiving threat, was not available. So,
which, if to add on that theme, I want to talk about this off. I know I'm still going back to beating it at horse with this offensive line. That's the only game this year where Georgia gave up multiple sacks.
Yeah. Well,
South Carolina put pressure on Fromm, and I think that's where Fromm's success is coming from. He has a lot of time in the pocket to buy time
down
the field. South
Carolina, a team that Mizzou
mostly
annihilated.
For checkdowns. Mostly for checkdowns, but, you know. Outside of that, yeah, I feel like if Mizzou can keep up the same pace of not allowing Georgia's receivers to gain separation, which they're not that great at outside of Lawrence Cager, as long as they, you know, can keep Cager on their radar and just, like, not totally forget he exists, unlike some teams. Looking at you, Florida. I think that's where Georgia's offense is going to struggle a lot if they can keep, you know, Jake Fromm from, you know, trying to beat him downfield via the forward pass. If they keep trying to dink and dunk and DeAndre Swift just can't get it done, then Mizzou might have a faint shot at, you know, keeping this game close or maybe even coming out with a win. Then we got to flip it over to the other side of the ball.
Can we talk about special teams first about Georgia, though?
Yeah.
We talking Hot Rod?
Talking Hot Rod. How can you not bring up Hot Rod in this situation? That we're talking about Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah, well, I think then it just comes down to getting into, you know, passable field goal position, because I think...
I'm not talking about that, and this is the most mundane part of a football game, maybe. I'm talking about the PATs.
Yeah.
Did you know that Georgia has not missed a PAT since 2014?
That's amazing.
That's Rodrigo Blankenship, baby.
Rodrigo Blankenship is really the biggest reason why...
Well, and also, and it was their kicker before that. Marshall Morgan, 2012 to 2015, holds the record for SEC PATs.
That's true.
215, Rodrigo Blankenship second.
Rodrigo Blankenship.
185.
Is the only reason that, well, not the only reason, but a big reason that South Carolina came out of Athens with a win. So.
Here's the thing.
I mean, Babe Ruth didn't hit a home run every time.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, but on the defensive side of the ball, the Bulldogs are going to be looking at either a injury hobbled Kelly Bryant or Taylor Powell, which, if you're a Mizzou fan, not super encouraging.
Here's what I think will happen. I think Bryant starts, but I think if the first couple three drives, if he can't get it all going, especially into the second quarter, he's gone.
Yeah,
then I think Powell will start.
Yeah, if he doesn't look healthy if he doesn't look healthy in those first two drives, I don't see a reason why Barry Odom wouldn't like pull him out of the game. But if seems unlikely, but if Kelly Bryant doesn't look healthy and Barry Odom just continues to, like, play him out there, that might be a huge problem. And we'll probably talk about that if it happens. But again, it's one of those things where it probably won't happen. I think if Kelly Bryant is definitely, like, nursing something, it'll mostly be like the Taylor Powell show. But anyways, so
we gonna pick?
Really, I feel like for Mizzou's offense just to, you know, stay competitive with this top five S&P Plus ranked Georgia defensive squad. I think they're ranked fourth overall in S&P Plus. They're going to have to stay outside of third down territory, which, if you paid attention to any Georgia games, Georgia's defense isn't super great at preventing you from converting on first down, either in first or second down situations. It's third down that really is like their moneymaker, if that makes any sense. Because I believe they are ranked 10th in, like, long third down situations, 40th in medium, and 26th in short. But 66.3% of opponents' first downs come on first and second down. So that's really what Mizzou needs to do. This sounds, again, incredibly rudimentary, but if they can play to it, they might have a shot, and that's just keep ahead of the sticks, try not to force any turnovers, play smart, play for field position, yada, 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 things of that nature.
If Missouri can pull up this upset, the defense is going to win the game for them.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too, because South Carolina's offense definitely didn't win it.
Yeah.
For Georgia, and I think that's the blueprint.
They're going to have to be opportunistic.
Oh yeah, definitely. If they can force maybe one or two turnovers,
there are
and
two
then,
things that you have to do in this game to win. You have to win the turnover battle.
Yeah.
And also, actually, I take that back. Three things. Turnover battle is one. Play clean is the second. No more penalties. No more stupid penalties.
That's something that's been bugging Mizzou teams for like the past two games.
I alluded to a little bit ago. You have a guy that is an automatic mismatch on the offensive side of the ball in Albert Okwuegbunam.
Yeah.
Use him.
Yeah. Give him more touches. It honestly couldn't hurt, really, unless he himself is hurt or something. But, yeah, outside of that, shoot.
I have a weird feeling about this game. I don't know why.
It'll be weird. It'll be frustrating, just like every Georgia game is, and you'll walk away from it feeling that Mizzou might have had a shot, when in reality, maybe not so, but it's whatever.
You're going to be so stunned with my response.
What's on the line here for Barry Odom? Let's kind of switch to that with talking about how he's a quote-unquote wartime coach and a great coach in the month of November. He's, what, 10-2 overall in the month of November?
I think Mizzou is going to continue to be extremely frustrating. I think they're built to be an 8-4 team this year, which is why, for whatever reason, there's something in the back of my mind that's saying Mizzou is going to win this football game because Mizzou.
I don't think they're going to win this one. I think they'll beat Florida, though.
I think Florida is the ranked team that Mizzou can sort of.
And they just Barry Odom has Florida's number.
Away from.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either, but there is something that is just telling me Mizzou is going to win this game. I don't know why I think that.
Well, Berman, you and I both something. Called the. We called the Kentucky upset, if you want to call it an upset.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought they were going to rebound after Vanderbilt.
Which is why I'm thinking Mizzou, they are so frustrating. They're never going to be that good, but they're good enough to beat Georgia.
It's the most Mizzou thing.
It would be the most Mizzou thing ever. That would just ensure Barry Odom stays here until the sun explodes and kills us all.
So what you're saying is Mizzou right now is like a wet, angry badger in the shed, and Georgia's got to go get that lawnmower to mow the lawn, and they can either decide to not mow the lawn or go in there, but either way, someone's going to get hurt.
But what also about Barry Odom's record when he's coming off a bye week? Not good either.
Yeah, that's sort of.
Well, he had his first win over a bye after Troy.
Yeah.
Well, that's Troy.
Was Troy.
And it was not one of those, you know, kind of like, it was not a Middle Tennessee situation where you lose.
It was
a solid win. It was the way Missouri was supposed to win that game.
I mean, Mizzou just dominated Troy in every facet, but that was supposed to happen.
So
and they lost Kel Garrett.
Yeah.
And,
so where are we at?
Almost Kelly Bryant.
To ask a hypothetical question here, do you think if you have Kel Garrett healthy at this point through the season, do you think it makes that much of a difference?
Yes.
I think it does.
Yes.
I think he's enough of a spark plug on defense. He's enough of, like, you know, that guy, if you want to, you know, bring up that old trope of being that guy on defense, you know, like a shoot, like a even a Charles Harris or like, a, you know, other really good Mizzou defensive players. But yeah. One of those things where if Kale Garrett's around, maybe some of these games are closer. Maybe Mizzou wins, you know, at least beats Vanderbilt. I don't know about Kentucky, but do you have any score predictions for this game?
I have one more percentage thing I want to bring up.
Go for it.
Georgia has an 86% chance to win the SEC East. Florida has an 11% chance. Missouri has a 3% chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
3%.
So there is a shot.
Well, if Mizzou runs the table, they have a shot.
Okay. But
then again... One more thing I have to bring up.
9-3. We didn't say how they get there.
One more thing I have to bring up is that you did say how much they miss Kel Garrett, and I think that didn't really show until Vanderbilt. They coasted with the sold-out crowd against Ole Miss, and then Vanderbilt should not have dominated them on the offensive side the way that they did.
I agree.
So do you think they miss Kel Garrett? Oh, I think they miss him quite a bit. But then again, football is weird. Football is confusing. And that's why I'm picking Mizzou to win 34-31.
That's pretty. It'd be really funny if this game ended up being a shootout after like games like Notre Dame ended up like 20-19. That'd be really funny. But yeah, I don't think it'll be that close. I'm thinking something like 35-17 or something. Advantage Bulldogs.
I'm gonna take the Alabama score from last year, 39-10.
Ooh, Georgia. Okay, I like that one too.
Yeah, I just don't see Missouri having any success in the red zone.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I see? I see
something really stupid happening soon on the horizon.
No, I see Barry Odom spending hours in the dingy hotel
coming up with money to pay the Bulldogs
Gatorade out
the game.
Of his clothes. Barry Odom is going to be washing lemon lime Gatorade out of his clothes after this game.
Are you psychic?
Oh, I'm psychic.
Anyways,
are you psyched up for this? Psyched up for this break?
That's right.
Oh, absolutely.
While we test out Berman's psychic powers, we'll be right back with some more Mizzou sports coverage for you. We got some college basketball to talk about, both of the men's and women's variety. So for all y'all listening at home, do not go anywhere. You'll listen to Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM, KCLU.fm. We'll be right back.
It's another Tiger rally. Tiger fever's everywhere. The Big 8 Conference better beware. Missouri Tigers are way too tough. Just say uncle when you've had enough. We're the mighty Tiger Express, and 82 will pass the test. On the football field, watch them go. Tigers form a special mold. Ask the teams that we beat how it feels to face defeat. You'll be in an awful mess when you get hit by the Tiger Express. Our offense can run and pass. Your defense better be fast. Tigers have lots of hustle, built of steel, brains, and muscle.
KCOU presents Thunder Jackson at Rose Music Hall, November 7th, along with Sissy Paycheck. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8.
Sure to tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 to hear Jacob Murphy.
They did it all season long, and the NBA should not expect it. Anything else, Kyrie is gone. And I want everybody else gone besides Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown.
And Reed McGowan.
Kawhi Leonard was the best player. Not LeBron, not Kevin Durant, not Giannis, not Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, James Harden, none of those guys. Steph Curry, no. It's Kawhi Leonard.
As they continue their show, General Admission, on KCOU 88.1 FM.
Giannis happened.
Game two. Boom.
In four games, game Giannis three. Single-handedly boom. Destroyed the Celtics franchise.
Game four. Boom.
And destroyed everything that they've been building the last 5 years. Game ever five. Since the big three left.
Boom.
Giannis Antetokounmpo officially has killed the Celtics.
Once again, that is General Admission every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KCOU 88.1 FM.
When the Tigers get the ball, they move down the field, run over them all. See that Tiger running for the goal. And every time the Tigers score, fans yell out a mighty roar. It's six more points for the black and gold. Touchdown, gotta have another touchdown. Let's all cheer the Tigers on the zoo. Touchdown,
hey everybody. Gotta have another touchdown. You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.fm. I'm Chris Mitchell. That's James Stanley over there working the boards. Digging it. You dug up something interesting, which is what you're playing right now.
Yeah, I just have questions.
Yeah, how do you like
I mean, I'm into it.
Sat, man, I sound like Porky Pig. How do you like this gym?
It's pretty solid. If it's a staple on Salute Your Sports, I wouldn't be too upset.
Gonna try to get it put into the Mega Sega.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, put that under like. Put that in, like, sports backing tracks. Perfect. I'd be super down with that. Of course, Zach Berman over here.
So you want to know the story how I found this?
How'd you found it?
How'd you found it?
How I found this?
Yeah, how'd you found it?
Oh, my goodness. You saw the wall.
Yeah.
No, I see the wall. Have you seen that Three Stooges?
Probably at some point.
They're trying to get an airplane out of a hangar, but, like, the door's not big.
Yeah.
So Moe's like... You saw the wall. Curly's like, no, I see the wall. Anyways, how I found this. Found it at a flea market here.
Oh, shoot.
In Columbia.
That's cool.
It's a record put out by Minsky's Pizza back in the 80s. And it says that in 82 they'll match the test because the Tigers are the best or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
And
that's
it
really
says
great.
That, you know, it says like, Mizzou's going to win the national championship, basically. And in 1982, Missouri went, I believe, 4-8.
80s were a dark Mizzou time for Mizzou football. Oh,
goodness, 80s football for Mizzou was awful.
Yeah, we don't talk about it a lot. It's like... I mean, it's 80s football.
Do we have to talk about Mizzou football currently or no?
But here's how I digitized it. I have my aunt's record player. My aunt has a visual impairment. And anyways, the state of Kansas growing up gave her this record player. And it has a plate on it that says, property of the state of Kansas. I don't know if they want it back. And if they're listening and they want it back, they can gladly have it back. But my family just forgot to give it to them. So anyways, fine. I have the record player now, and it has a quarter-inch input. And if you're wondering what that is, that's just like it's like an aux cord, but it's like the bigger version, like used for like a guitar amp. And anyways, I was kind of messing around with it, and I figured that I can plug in the quarter-inch to an aux cord with an adapter, run that to my laptop, and then take the music off the... record.
Okay.
And lo and behold,
and now it's uploaded to YouTube, so have at it. Enjoy it. Play it at your tailgates, your birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, whatever you want.
You took that word right out of my mouth.
Funerals.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about some basketball, because that's right, folks. Basketball is back. We're talking about the college variety. NBA has been back for a little bit, and I feel bad because I totally forgot what week college basketball was coming back, so we did not have our usual college basketball preview up, but... Nonetheless, we still got some deets for you.
Good sound to hear.
Up first,
under 5 seconds, we're not going to get in trouble for copyright.
Okay. Up first, of course, we got the women's team who played, I believe, on Monday night against Western Illinois. Mizzou came out on top, 97-89. This was a nail biter for the most part, except in overtime, in which Mizzou outscored Western Illinois 16-8.
Should they have gone to overtime against Western Illinois?
No. And let's look at the box score real quick. Your leading scorer for the night was Amber Smith, 11 for 25. As far as field goal shots go, 50% from three, 2 for 3 from the charity stripe, 15 rebounds, 27 points. Yeah. Of course, you got Jordan Chavis with 18 points, shooting 7 for 10, 4 for 7 from deep, 1 rebound. Jordan Roundtree, 4 for 7, shooting 50% from behind the arc, 1 for 2. Had herself 14 points. Aisha Blackwell, 0 for 7, 0 for 2, shooting the big old donut for field goal percentage. Hit one free throw, got 2 rebounds. But outside of that, not the most stellar outing for the freshman, the 5-star freshman. But
she'll get there.
Yeah, she'll get there. I'm not super duper nervous about Blackwell sort of like breaking out of her shell and doing all the things that she was doing in the preseason. It's early yet, but... It's kind of a bummer that we didn't get any Aisha Blackwell highlights.
It's also like Sophie Cunningham would do this too.
Yeah, just kind of.
Where she'd have a tough game or two, and
yeah, just
it's going to be very big holes or very big shoes for Mizzou women's basketball to fill with her loss.
Yeah, outside of that, you got Ella Brown, 5 for 7 from the field, 0 for 2 from deep, hit all her free throws, 5 for 5, and then she got 2 boards, and then Hannah Schutz, 4 for 9. From the field, 3 for 4 from deep, 10 rebounds, 11 points. So not a super terrible game for the Tigers. They shot fairly well, except for the second half. They shot 25% from deep and about 37.5% from the field overall, as opposed to shooting 50% both from the field and from deep. So in the first half. So, yeah, that's probably something that they're going to have to clean up, their efficient shooting. Or getting back up to, efficient levels of shooting in the second half. They got 34 points in the paint, 21 points off turnovers, and 28 points off the bench. Their largest lead was 9 points, and that was in overtime with, I believe, 13 seconds left to go. So shout out to them. They're 1-0 on the season. I forget who they play next, but, yeah, that should be fine. Actually, let me pull it up right now. They play Nebraska next. On November 10th on Sunday.
I feel like that's a tough game.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the Huskers women's basketball team. But, yeah, should be an interesting game. Of course, at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. You already know we're going to have coverage of that right here on KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM. Don't go away for that on Sunday when it comes down to it.
We just won't be happy with you.
Yeah, we'd be very disappointed. Me in particular, I'd be very disappointed. Anyways, let's move on to the men's basketball team because they played last night
against Incarnate Word.
Which
I didn't know that was a real school until yesterday.
You didn't know that was a real school?
No, I'd never heard of
Jefferson City Renegades had three players in there a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
they had some great outfielders.
You're like the second person to tell me this, that they didn't know Incarnate Word existed. I'm pretty sure the Mizzou's baseball team played Incarnate Word at one point. I forget if that was like last year or this or like the year before that. But either way, Incarnate Word exists, and they got beat down by Mizzou to the tune of 82-42.
Well, it had to happen.
Advantage Tigers. You're right.
Do you know what the response on this campus would be if Mizzou did not beat up on Incarnate Word?
It'd be pretty hectic. It would be
we don't love old Mizzou.
Yeah. No love for old Mizzou if they lost Incarnate Word, but they didn't.
I bet the kid that has the Fire Barry Odom sign in his room probably would have to dig up his Fire Konzo Martin side as well.
Yeah. Bring back Kim Anderson.
Unfortunately, as a team, they did not shoot super terrific from deep. They only hit 7 of 31 three-point attempts, 22.6% from downtown. Overall, they shot 44% from the field. They hit 65.5% of their free throws. They scored 42 points in the paint. Yeah.
They were impressive.
Yeah, the amount of total points that Incarnate Word had. They scored all that in the paint. You know how they did that? Dunks, baby. Dunks on top of dunks. Oh, my God. There were so many dunks in this game.
Hey, they had to be impressive, and they were.
Hey, man, listen. If the three ball ain't working out for you, just take it straight to the cup. And that's exactly what Jeremiah Tillman did. 7 for 9 from the field. Most of those was dunks. 2 for 4 from the charity stripe. 7 rebounds. 16 points overall. So he's your leading scorer. Yeah. Our leading.
How do you spell that?
Scort. Scart. S-C-O-R-T-E-R.
Sounds like someone can't pronounce the word Scott, the name Scott.
Yeah.
What's your name? My name's Scort.
What's up, Scart?
Do you know how my great-grandfather pronounced the word towel?
This is going to be good.
Tile.
Tile.
Could you hand me the tile?
That's very like breadbasket.
Oh, no, he was Irish too.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Wasn't born there. He was born in the States.
But right.
His parents were full-fledged.
That's cool. Anyways, outside of that, pretty solid breakout games for Xavier Pinson, Javon Pickett, Kobe Brown even had himself a pretty good game too. Xavier Pinson, 3 for 4 from the field, 1 for 2 from downtown, 8 for 11 from the charity stripe, got 3 rebounds, 15 points overall. Outside of that, you got Javon Pickett, 4 for 9 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3. 50% free throw shot, only hit 1 out of 2. And then, of course, 8 rebounds. And then Kobe Brown, 3 for 7 from the field, 2 for 5 from deep, 1 for 2 from the stripe, 3 rebounds, 9 points overall.
It was an enjoyable game.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed seeing, you know, that level of production come from Xavier Pinson, Javon Pickett, and even Kobe Brown, because a lot of people were expecting for Mizzou to have any sort of, you know, ghost of a chance in the SEC for them to sort of, you know, come into their own and be, you know, at least, you know, solid level producers for this offense. And so far, early returns, pretty solid. Other scorers include Mario McKinney, a freshman recruit from last year. If y'all remember, 3 for 4 from the field, 7 points, 1 free throw shot, 1 free throw made, 3 rebounds, 7 points. And then Mitchell Smith, 0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 2 from deep, had 3 rebounds, but yeah, definitely something that they're going to have to sort of shake out. And on top of that, Trey Jackson, 2 for 5 from the field, 0 for 3 from deep. This is, again, not free throws, 3-point shot is something people are good. That's something that this team's going to have to fix. Torrance Watson, 2 for 7 from deep. Yeah, it's not great. Mark Smith, 0 for 4.
We still have a couple more tuned up.
Kobe Brown, 2 for 5.
Get serious.
Yeah, so if there's ever a time for them to sort of, I guess, tweak, you know, how frequently or how efficient they are at the 3-point shot, it's now. Before, you know, your Xavier's come, or I don't know. Who else tough they got?
Wofford's pretty good.
Wofford. Shoot. I saw their tournament. That was pretty crazy. Of course, got Northern Kentucky on Friday night, 7 p.m. You already know we got coverage for that.
Northern Kentucky ain't half bad either.
Yep. Got Morehead State later on the 20th. And then Thanksgiving week, not weekend, because this game is on a Monday. You got Butler Monday the 25th, and then either Oklahoma or Stanford on November 26th. That's going to be in Kansas City, so.
Where they won't let us call the game because they're making us pay for Wi-Fi, so.
Yeah, you know how it is sometimes. Yeah. Anyways, outside of that, it's a pretty interesting slate. And then, of course, bragging rights really, really later on. We're not going to talk about bragging rights just yet. We need to wait to see how some of these teams are matriculating. But
is it time?
On their face, this doesn't seem like a super-duper difficult schedule, at least for out-of-conference. Wofford could be interesting. So Xavier could be interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. Could be a fun, you know, first few weeks of the season. I'm super damned to see what Konzo Martin and the team could sort of, like, string together after that. And, of course, Mizzou women's team, going to be beasts no matter what.
I'm not worried about them.
Absolutely not. So, it's 4:41. I think you know what it's time for.
James goes right to
the music. That's right, folks. It's time for Or Not. I'm not the host of Or Not this time. This time, it's Zach Berman because he did not know his Scooby-Doo villains.
James, that was not fair. Come on.
James, were you around for this?
No.
It was Toosing.
I mean, were you around when I told you that Or Not this time was going to be old Scooby-Doo villains?
That was just unfair, dude.
old Scooby-Doo villains were Mizzou football coach.
Nah, I just had him guess if they were Scooby-Doo villains or not. I listed off some other like old like boomerang guys or like
I'm not happy with Orgeron. About that.
Yeah,
all right,
Ed Orgeron.
So
you medicine kids,
Chris, you actually already know it. You actually already know.
Go Tigers!
All right, James, time to let the cat out of the bag, or in this case, maybe the live bulldog out of the bag.
Oh no!
Because. In honor of Mizzou's matchup with Georgia this
weekend, so I can't see your phone.
We are going to be doing a little Or Not on whether schools have live mascots or not.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yeah, I was super into it when he told me.
There are 25 schools that I have counted in about the 45 minutes that I looked that have.
That's pretty thorough.
You had better not ask Kansas Jayhawks.
Well, I might.
We'll get to that.
So, let's start with James. Welcome back.
Okay, he's leading things off. All right, I'm down.
We're going to start with the Baylor Bears. Does Baylor have a live bear mascot?
Currently, or have they ever?
Currently.
Currently?
These are all current.
I think they have one at one point, but I'm going to say no.
You are wrong.
Ooh, what?
Oh, let me pull this up real fast. Baylor happens to have two live bears named...
I can't imagine they'd be in the stadium.
Lady and Joy. No, they are not in the stadium.
Okay.
They've had live bears since World War I. And they used to attend the games until the leashes get too big. Now they weigh about 270 to 280 pounds.
Shoot.
All right.
Yeah, that's way too much of a hassle.
This reminds me of the Northwoods League. Some of the teams would buy like pets to keep in the dugout.
That's cute.
And one team got a pet fish when they got on like a winning streak.
All right.
That's fun. I like that.
Still tied 0-0.
Royals had that Mantis for a little bit.
Let's switch.
Shout out to Riley Mantis.
Chris.
What's up?
The school that I am going to visit to call a Mizzou game in a few weeks from now. Temple. Do they have a live owl?
Yes.
Yes, they do. Her name is Stella.
Aw.
She's just 2 feet tall, but has a wingspan of 5 feet. And she can crush prey with 28 pounds of force per square inch.
So she can pop a basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Roll owls, man.
All right, Chris, you're up one zip.
That's true.
James, does NC State have a live mascot?
No.
You are wrong. They don't have a wolf. They've been trying to get a wolf for years. They accidentally bought a coyote once. But in 2009, they adopted an Alaskan Shepherd, which is a mix of a Malamute and a German Shepherd, to patrol its sidelines. His name I cannot find. All right.
Rough.
0-0.
I appreciate the
0-0. It's 1-0 in favor of Chris. Jeez.
Chris.
Bottom of the second.
What's happening?
Eastern New Mexico. Do they have a live greyhound?
I'm going to say no.
They do.
Oh, shoot. Well, I feel like I should have seen this coming, but I figured, it's Eastern Mexico.
Yeah, their names are Vic and Tori.
That's cool.
Well, all right, does KCU have a live mascot? Because you and I have both claimed that our pets are,
that is true.
Are the mascots.
That was a bonus round question.
All right. Chris.
You just went.
I just went.
Yeah, you're up one zip. We go to the top of the third. Does Oregon State have a live beaver?
Yes.
No, they don't. Gotcha.
Dang.
You've got me three times.
Yeah, I know.
That actually kind of shocks me. Yeah, I figured they would have a beaver.
That would be the one team I figure, oh, yeah, they probably have a beaver.
All right. Chris, does SMU have a live Mustang?
Yes.
They do. His name is Peruna. They have six of them. They've had six.
Shoot. All
mascots.
Time?
Mascots. Yeah, they're currently on their six.
Okay. How many mics are they on? Anyways, never mind. Ignore my question.
I don't know. We're going to go on to the top of the fourth here. Does Yale have a live mascot?
Yes.
Yes, they do. His name is Handsome Dan.
It's a bulldog.
Yes, it is. We're going to stay in the Northeast.
Okay.
As we go to the bottom of the fourth. Tied 1-1.
No, it's 2-1, Chris.
Advantage me.
Does Army have live mascots?
Yes.
They do. They're mules. Because
you said mascots.
Ugh. Gosh, I gave that away. Their names are Ranger
and Striker.
That's
not their mascot, though. They're the Black Knights.
Yeah, but...
But they still have a... I mean, I'm not going to argue. Still, for the case, you could say that West Virginia's a live mascot.
True.
All right, we're going to the top of the fifth. Does Arkansas have a live Razorback?
Yes.
Yes, they do. His name is Tusk.
Shout out to Tusk.
It's not actually a real Razorback. It's a Russian boar.
Yeah, Razorback would...
He's also been able to be said to have be able to give a kiss on command.
Aww. Yeah,
and eat your face off, too.
Yeah. Does UConn have a live Husky?
Yes.
No, they don't.
Oh, that wasn't in the budget, I guess?
No, it wasn't in the budget.
Dang. Shout out to Randy Etzel.
So 3-2, right?
Still 3-2.
Yeah.
Does Washington have a live Husky?
Yes.
Yes, they do. What's his name?
Dubs.
His name is Dubs.
That's cool.
Coming from behind here.
Does Navy have a live mascot?
No.
Oh, you're wrong.
Oh, really?
They have Bill the Goat.
Okay. Yeah.
You've never watched the Army-Navy College Game Day?
I have. Not College Game Day. I've seen the game, but I don't think I've ever seen the Goat.
And they are on... Oh, my goodness. That is a large Roman numeral.
What does it say? Just tell me what it is.
It's got to be like an M or a C at this point.
36. They have had 36 goats.
Dang, you counted that. Good job. Shoot.
So what are we at? 3-3?
Yeah.
3-3. Chance for me to take the lead. Top of the sixth.
Top of the sixth. Chance to take the lead. Okay. Does Air Force have a real Falcon?
Yes.
Yes, they do. His name is Aurora.
That's cool.
Sticking in the category of birds, does Auburn have a live mascot?
Yes.
Oh, boy. War Eagle. Shout out to Cole Ocasio.
Yeah, shout out to Cole. War Eagle dog. We tied up now?
Yeah, tied 4-4.
We're tied at 4.
Okay.
Top of the 7th.
Top of the 7th.
Right.
Does Colorado State have a live ram?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Cam 25. They have 24. They've had 25 live rams.
That's pretty sick.
And they've had 24 outdoor barbecues.
Yes. Ooh, boy. Does Memphis have a live tiger?
No.
You are wrong. Memphis is a live tiger.
Really?
Yeah, I knew that one.
Shoot.
His name is Tom.
Okay.
They are currently on their third Tom. He is the only live tiger mascot that any school has that is still allowed to be present at every game.
Shoot.
So, yes, Tom was at the big game last week between SMU and Memphis.
Okay.
We go to the, top of the sixth, seventh?
Seventh, and I think we're going to wrap this thing up.
I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Maybe the final round here.
Yeah. Hey, James could get another point, and I can't do it.
Oh, God, I just want to throw you a softball right now.
KU.
Does Georgia have a life mascot?
Are you kidding me? Yes, they do.
To win the whole thing, how many Uggas have they had? What number Ugga are they on?
I'm going to say they're on Ugga number 6.
I'm going to say 7.
Oh, boy. They're on Ugga number 5.
So Chris wins.
Oh! Oh!
Oh, boy. Yep. And that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Dang.
I wish we had time to play the whole thing out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, do I have any other surprises? I think I got through all the weird ones. I mean, I missed out on Ralphie and Bevo and Mike the Tiger.
Yeah. How many mics are they on? I could answer that one. They're on like 4.
I was going to ask if Oregon had a live duck, and I was going to throw that as a screwball because do they have a duck that they call their own? No. But what does Eugene have a lot of? Ducks.
They have a lot of ducks. So there's that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's time to wrap up the show. You know what it's time for? It's time for Statements of the Week. So I think we're going to start off with Zach Berman. Zach Berman, what's your statement for the week?
First of all, no, Tulsa does not have a live Golden Hurricane.
Dang.
But.
Just on command.
Toledo has a live rocket, though.
Yes.
I don't think you. Don't know if you knew that.
Oh, boy.
Isn't it a Nerf rocket?
Probably.
I think I've ever seen that when Missouri played up there a couple, 3 years ago.
There is a game this weekend that will be among one of the greatest NFL clashes of all time. Some may call it the greatest game on football. Others, including one urinating tree, may call it Tank Bowl. And that is the Giants and Jets.
Oh, wow.
This Sunday at 12 Central. I am so excited to see a whole stadium of fans booing their own coaches.
Perfect. You'll love to see it. I think I want to shout out the Chiefs run defense.
That because, was a fantastic game.
Yeah, for like the past 3 weeks, something's gotten into that Chiefs defense. I don't know if it's Steve Spags' adjustments after the Denver game or during the Denver game, but
maybe
whatever.
Maybe it's because they have talent.
They do have talent, actually. And you know what? Chris Jones being back, huge part of that. So shout out to the Chiefs defense for figuring out a way to sort of get it together, especially with Patrick Mahomes not being, you know, around playing quarterback, to sort of cover their butts. James, what about you?
Mine's going to go out to just to KCU itself as I wrap up my time here at the University of Missouri.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Going to start to hand the reins off to some of you younger guys and stuff. Woo. So this will definitely be my last football broadcast.
Oh, man. That's right.
Safe travels, buddy.
It might be my last broadcast overall. We'll have to see how that sits. But things are pretty busy, and it's kind of like I feel like an old horse was put
off
the pasture.
When are you graduating? At the end of the semester? May.
Yeah, I still got. I'll be here next semester. But
so you'll still have this show to just ramble on.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so we'll save the big James Finale stuff. For
I would
next
apply
semester.
For a basketball game next semester, but I have 0 service hours right now.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to take advantage of the system.
Yeah, I'm gonna let the other kids eat because I only got like a handful of hours too, and that's just for doing stuff for Sports Saturday.
So. But yeah. It's been a fun ride.
Yeah, and, shout out to James.
Yeah, and the fourth quarter, all the second and fourth quarters, all of a little soliloquy at the very end of it. So
okay, that's cool. So, yep, that just about wraps things up for Salute Your Sports this week. We will be back again next Thursday, of course. And, of course, you can catch James and Garrett Jones on the call for Mizzou.
Safe travels, buddy.
For Mizzou versus Georgia.
Appreciate it.
Pre-game starts at like 5 or something. Game's
6 o'clock because it's 7 Eastern.
Okay. So, yeah, all that jazz.
Under the lights between the hedges, it's going
to fantastic. That.
Under the lights between the hedges, it's Mizzou football. And it's James Stanley there, so you can't miss it. I'm Chris Mitchell, of course, for James Stanley. For Zach Berman, this has been Salute Your Sports. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody.